So I was thinking, I was lying in bed and I had this funny thought. You know, a lot of people are doing this ancestry thing, 23andMe. They're trying to find out where they come from. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want to do that. I'm actually afraid to do that. Because, see, I've actually hitched my wagons to being Puerto Rican. And everything that came with that came on the premise that I'm Puerto Rican. So when people say, oh, man, you're loud. Well, I'm Puerto Rican. So you could imagine if I did find my ancestry and it was like Scottish or something or West Indian. It's like, how do you put those two together? Like, people kind of look at you like funny, like, what is wrong with this dude? So, yeah, it was kind of chuckled to myself. But been wrestling with a thought, and I got these notes so I can stay focused here because we don't have all day, Ron. And this thought for the last couple of weeks is what is love? It's a question. It's a simple question, and I've been going over this and just mulling it over. What is love? I mean, really, what is it? I mean, if you could put love into one singular word of all the words that you know, then what is love? Love is grace. It's great, Brandon. How do you define it? How can one define such a simple but powerful word? What is love? Love is giving. It's good, David. That's good. It's a powerful word. It carries so much weight. The dictionary defines love as this. I wrote two of the definitions. Of course, there's more. A profoundly tender, passionate affection for one another. A feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or friend. But for you, Shane Stewart, what is love? Relentless. See, it means so much to so many of us. It's different for all of us. If you could paint a picture with one word, Diane Miller, where are you? What is love? Caring. See, this morning I want to welcome you as a stranger, as a regular, as the bold, the timid, those of you who have lost your way. Maybe you're on the cusps of giving up. You've been pushed to the edges of darkness. This morning I invite you into a presence that is only and will always be that of love.
Yeah.
A love that was willing to sacrifice the most sacred of things for you and for me. This is for you today. This presence is attainable for you this morning. See, it doesn't matter about your political opinions, your religious background, your skin color, your sexual orientation, your economic background, your education, where you have been rejected. I invite you into a presence that is the face of love. It looks different for all of us, but it's the same love. Whatever you need this morning, love covers that. So if you've never been more welcomed anywhere, please, please be welcome here today and feel God's love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Stand with us.
Darkness fades into new beginnings as we lift our eyes to look beyond. All creation waits with an expectation. silence breaks in the name of Jesus, as the heavens cry and the earth respond. All creation shouts with a voice of triumph to declare the reign of the Lord our God. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one is overcome. And for every fear there's an empty grave, for the risen one is overcome.
Relentless, giving love.
Your love is fierce like a hurricane. Thank you so much that your love is fierce for us, God, yes. That you're always seeking after us. At good times and bad times, Father, you're always there. Your love is there constantly. Thank you for that love, God.
Jesus.
heart overflows with gratitude. My heart overflows for your goodness, God. You never fail. You never fail us. You're always there. I had a conversation with myself in the shower this week, and I had to get control of really my inner voice and what I was telling myself. And sometimes we name seasons in our life, or we name a year, or we name a month, or we name a day. And the thing that I was stirring in that moment was that this something is hard. I just kept saying, I just keep running into, this is hard, this is hard, this is hard. And I started reflecting back to last year, and I just said, man, you know, last year felt like a grieving year. We lost one of our dearest friends. It just felt like a grieving. So I was naming that year as a grieving year. And then I thought, and now I'm naming. And this is hard. And in an instance, you know, every once in a while, you kind of hear that gentle speak, that gentle voice. This was, if it could have been audible, and I guess it was because it was audible, it said, I heard God say, stop naming your year. Stop naming your season. Stop naming your day. Stop naming. Because, see, God, and so I shared this with Chris last night, and I said, there's so much more good that I felt last year than the grief. There's so much more good in these moments than the hard. So stop naming it as hard. Stop naming it as grief. Stop naming that season. And you name this moment for what it is. And this moment says, I am present. I am powerful. I am good. I am filled with his presence. I am filled with his love. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. And when I walk in that awareness, there is nothing I can name except I can only name it love. I can only name it grace. I can only name this moment. Everything God is, that's what I can name this moment. That's what I can name. This next song says, it is well with my soul. That means in every moment it is well because of who he is. Every moment it is well because of the gifts he's given me. Every moment it is well because of the gifts he's given you. When has he not proved himself? We put ourselves in this future sometime of fear and worry and anxiety when all we have to do is get out of the future and be in this moment. And sometimes it's okay to look in the past, but when you look in the past, you see I'm standing here today because God was present in my past to get me through to where I am today. So when you look back for strength and a reminder of what he's done. But in this moment, he is good. He is faithful. He is a provider. He is a healer. It is well in every moment. It is well in every season. It is well in every year. Name it for the truth that it is. We choose. And it is what it is, whether you name it that or not. You just get the opportunity to enter into the truth of his goodness and enter into the grace of this moment. Amen. Grander earth is quaked before. eyes are on the truth. And through it all, and through it all, it is well. He doesn't fail. And through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. Far be it for me to label. Far be it for me to decide that something is that it's not, instead of seeing. The faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, Father, we choose to have eyes to see, ears to hear in this moment. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and the mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. This moment looks like for them, that Father, there is no mountain that you can't toss in the sea. There is no sea that you can't part. There is no path that you can't make straight. There is no disease that you can't heal. There is nothing so broken that can't be made right. That there is no such thing as so much lack that you can't fill it with your abundance. And Father, I thank you that that is the God that you are. That is the God we serve. That is the God that I give my life to, that I surrender to, in knowing that you work all things for the good, every single thing for the good. Every single thing for the good. Every moment, every fear, every heartbreak, every sickness, every moment of lack, every moment where we struggle and trust that you say, I'm going to work that moment for the good. Every failure, you work for the good. Every single thing, you work for the good. There is never a moment in our lives that we cannot say, it is well. There is never a moment in our lives that we can't say, you got this. There is never a moment in our lives that we can't say, rejoice not, oh you enemy, oh these thoughts, for when I rise, I shall rise again. And when I rise again, I rise with a voice of truth, I rise with a voice of triumph, I rise with the truth that all things, everything works together for the good for those that are called according to his purpose. And if you get confused and you want to know the Greek word for all, it's all. And if you get confused and you want to know who are those called according to the purpose, you point to yourself right now and say, I am. I am. Right here. I am. With my soul. says, amen. You are good. You are worthy. There is nothing you can't do. There is no need you don't rush to. There's no need you're not already ahead on the other side. And Father, we fix our eyes on you. We fix our thoughts on you, on your goodness, on your love, on your grace, on your mercy. That's what gets our attention.
Amen.
Amen.
Just play for a moment, Kitty, if you will. I'm going to let you sit down just for a moment, rest, then ask you to get back up, but you can just rest for a moment. Is that okay? Read a post this week. I don't know if I can, I hope I can quote it and remember just the way it was said. But it said there's three times a year that we honor the military. One is Veterans Day. We honor those who ever wore a uniform. Then there's another day, I forget what day that is. It's to honor all of those who are wearing the uniform. And then there's Memorial Day, and it's to honor all of those who never took the uniform off. I thought, what a thought that we are set here today. We come worship today because one man died. We have this amazing thing called grace that God's given us. But not only did one man die, you're going to see this morning as we talk about grace, a lot of men died. A lot of women died. A lot of children died for this grace. It's just amazing, amazing where it came from and what it came through. And see, it's more about what it came through than what it came from. It's what it did it come through. See, life's not about where you came from. Life is about where you're going through. That through it all. And I'm going through it. No matter what is hurled at me, no matter what happens, I'm going through it. So I want you to stand back for a moment, and I want us to honor those today that never took the uniform off. They gave the ultimate sacrifice. You know, they didn't join to die, but they joined with knowing the possibility of dying. They joined knowing they're putting themselves in harm's way, and that you can't go to the military and not know there's a possibility. It's going to cost you everything. And our faith was bought that way. Men and women, including Jesus and many after them, gave their lives. They gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can stand and worship and receive this marvelous thing called grace, freedom. So, Father, we thank you for those who literally gave their whole lives, their spirit, soul, and bodies. They died fighting for freedom. They died fighting for this unbelievable word that fills the atmosphere with goodness called grace. Thank you for that. Thank you for them. Thank you. We bless their families. We bless their posterity, their heritage, their children, their children's children. As far as it may go, Lord, we just bless them all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I received word this morning there's a couple in our church named Larry and Ashley Green. Larry was in a diving accident yesterday and broke his neck. He's right now is in surgery, and he does have a little feeling in his feet. So would you just join with me? Father, we lift Larry up to you right now. Thank you for the doctors that are administering, God, healing to him right now. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence with that family. We speak peace over them. And thank you for divine healing. Thank you, God, for a complete restoration of that body. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Ooh. God is good, isn't he? I was thinking this morning, well, Dusty always wants about 2 or 3 weeks notice before she preaches. I'm just going to tell from now on, you preach every Sunday. What do you mean when you're going to preach? But she has a word every Sunday morning when she's up there. Aren't you glad you can just hear God all the time? God is good. He's a good, good, good God. I'm going to do something today, begin a few-week series that I'm really excited about called Grace. Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know, grace is one of the, if not the most, literally, the most difficult word to define. For the Greeks, it was the most beautiful word that there was. That grace meant beauty, it meant loveliness, it meant graciousness, it meant thankfulness, anything and everything that represented beauty was wrapped up in this word called grace. The man, if you knew the man who wrote the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me, if you knew him, you would know why he put that word in there, why he used such a demeaning description of himself because of the type of person that he was. He wrote this song, Amazing Grace. It saved a wretch like me. He wrote the verse that said, through many trials and sorrows I've come through, and it's grace that's brought me through, and grace will continually bring me through. I'll always be singing about it. I'll always be thinking about it. You know, we add that little song to it. We'd be singing this thing for millions and millions of years. It is still probably the most sang hymn ever written. There's been different ways to sing it brought about, but that song is still sung over and over and over again. This guy was so filled with gratitude that after he wrote Amazing Grace, he spent, Joy, his life not doing this because he had to, but he spent his life in a monastery every single day washing the floors, making sure the monastery was neat and clean, not because he had to, but because he was so overwhelmed with gratitude. You see, what really brings out service in people and brings out goodness in people is that they do it because they want to, not because they have to. And so there's this verse of scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, probably in the Protestant world, the most known scripture in the Bible, probably the most quoted scripture in the Bible, probably the most not really understood verses in the Bible. We know it, we read it, we quote it, but I don't know if we know it, what it's really saying. So Paul, in Ephesians 1, he has told us who we are. That he has told us that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're joint heirs with Christ. We are everything that he is. That he loved us and saved us before we was even born. He loved us and cared for us way back. He always has and always. And there's just amazing, amazing thing that comes our way. And so he gets to chapter 2. And he says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. For by grace are you saved when you believe. Now, I want to help us today with this word save. Now listen to me because I'm laying a foundation for weeks to come, okay? Okay. at least nod your head. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, you know. Just even if you don't agree with me, just nod your head like you do. All right. So, what is it? What we are not saved from something. We're saved for something. We're saved for something. He said, unto good works. It's what you're saved for. See, even God with Israel, when he brought them out of bondage, he didn't bring them out of bondage just to bring them out of slavery. That it happened. They were slaves, and it did happen. But that's not why he brought them out. The Bible said he brought them out to bring them in. He brought them out of slavery to bring them into a land, the Bible says, flowing with milk and honey, to a land that had houses they didn't build, grace, had vineyards they didn't plant, grace, had all of this stuff that they didn't plant, they didn't build, they didn't work for it. It was going to just be given over to them. And so he said, I'm bringing you out to bring you in. What people realize, if they're just, God called you out so to bring you in and to bring you into an abundant life. Not just an eternal life, but a abundant life and eternal life. Not just to have a home in heaven one day, but to have heaven here while I'm here. And to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. By the way, that scripture I'm quoting. I'm not just making that up to sound good. That scripture. To enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's what he came for. It's what he died for. And so now we have gotten this wonderful gift called grace. We have saved doesn't mean, saved means made whole. Another word that's hard to describe is the word salvation. Salvation is a word that's difficult because it has so many meanings to it. But the overriding meaning of salvation is to make you whole, to make you who you really are. See, if you want to know what you're really saved from, you're saved from a delusion of who you think you are. You're saved from a delusion of who you maybe think you are, because without God, without the recognition of grace in my life, without the recognition of where I really came from, then I'm defining myself based upon my experiences of what I'm going through or circumstances and situations. And if I define those things like that, then I'm given a false delusion. It's a delusion. That's not really what it is. And so I'm bringing a definition to it that's going to be a negative definition and one that doesn't have great connotations to it. But if I define myself not in the flesh but in the spirit, that I'm God's child, joint heirs with Christ. See, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that Jesus became the firstborn of many brethren, that he might bring many sons unto glory. And then we go from glory to glory. Well, glory. That's another word you can't define. We've tried to define these words and they just keep defining themselves. You see, one thing I love about being an interfaith church is that there are things that we can put commas by, and when we see different and we have a better definition of it, it just keeps defining itself more. When I started in 1976 pastoring, my definition of grace was far beneath what it is today. My living in grace was far beneath what I'm living in today. I'm so glad I've grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say just accept the grace. He says grow in the grace. Because it's going to keep defining itself more and more and more. It will keep broadening itself. It will keep opening it up, and it will get brighter. And the Bible says it's going to shine more and more until the dawning dawns in our life. This is day to us. Day to us is from morning till night. Day to God is from night till morning. In Genesis, he created, he said, in the evening and in the morning was the first day. So he takes our life from the dark and keeps illuminating it into a brighter day. Is that good? Oh, that's good. That's pretty good stuff. Okay, I didn't have that one down. Somebody jot that down in a note. I got to remember that one. I can't. All right. You ready? Ready for some shaking? All right. This is just some things I wrote down about grace. What I crave when I've done wrong. What I crave when I've done wrong is grace. What I hesitate to give when I'm done wrong is grace. Oh, did you get that? What I crave when I've done wrong is grace. What I hesitate to give when I'm done wrong is grace. How many know? It's easy to receive it. You know, I found there's no such thing as a grandparent. Do you know I found that out this week? I've been calling myself a grandparent for 15 years. There's no such thing. It's a grace parent. We're grace parents. That's what we are. I went from being a parent that didn't know grace to a grace parent. That, Lord, we just give it all the time. They can't do wrong. They can't do wrong. Somebody asked me one day, they were serious about it. Will heard the conversation. He said, you just think your grandchildren are perfect, don't you? I said, yep. Yeah, they are. I didn't think that way raising Dusty. I never thought of her as perfect. Never. Never, ever. But now I've got grandkids and they're perfect. I mean, they're not even, you're talking about perfect. They came here perfect. They keep every day and every month and every year, they just keep getting more perfect. It's just amazing. Why? Because I'm a grace parent now. And I'm letting God take control. I'm a grace parent. Well, you need to be a grace child. You need to be a grace child. So when you talk about you are a child of God, won't you say, I'm a grace child. I'm full of grace. Grace, I love this statement, embodies compassion and forgiveness. You know why grace is so important? You can't love without it. You can't give without it. You can't forgive without it. You know why some people can't forgive? It's not because they don't want to forgive. They don't have the grace to forgive. You know how these men died? How Christians died? How they were fed to life? How they did that? By grace. I asked my daddy one time years ago. I said, you know, I don't know if somebody took a gun and pointed it at my head and said, I'm going to shoot you or you deny your faith, what I would do. And Daddy said, well, you don't know what you will do until the gun's pointed at your head. Then you got the grace. Grace is when you need it. I don't need that grace right now. I'm not in the position of giving my life for it. But there were people down through time. Listen, they were fed to lions. They were crucified. Every disciple received a martyr's death except for John. They put him on the Isle of Patmos because they'd put him in boiling oil and it didn't kill him, and they couldn't do that again, so they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos and got the greatest revelation of Jesus ever gotten. Peter said, when they came to crucify him, said, "Don't crucify me right side up. I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord. Crucify me upside down." And tradition and history says they crucified Peter upside down. They were stabbed. They were burned at the stake. They were fed to lions. They were live. Lions ate them alive. They were stoned to death. Sawn in two. You name it. There was a brutal, brutal death. They died for this faith. Martyred. Every Sunday is a Christian Memorial Day. Every Sunday is a Christian Memorial Day. There are people overseas right now giving their life for this. There are preachers who are standing in podiums and huts who are going to walk out of there and give their life for this. They're going to be shot. They're going to be killed. They're going to be burned at a stake. Wow. The opposite of grace is not law. The opposite of grace is the absence of it. It is or it isn't. There's no opposite. You can't bring something alongside what's opposite of grace. Grace is absence of grace when there is none. Because you either have it or you don't have it. You're either giving it or you're not giving it. It's either there or it's not there. Now, you've heard these words, but let's meditate. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. It's unearned. Unmerited, undeserved, unearned. Always has been, always will be. The one thing that Jesus stood against constantly was graceless religion. He couldn't stand it. Read Matthew 24. You're going to see an upset Jesus. With righteous indignation, and he's the only one I've ever known to be able to give it rightly. I've heard of people say, "I got righteous indignation." No, you're just mad. Righteous indignation was Jesus standing up for a society of people who were being beaten down by a group of people and not giving them the grace they needed. The ones that crucified Jesus believed in God, but didn't know him. Believed in him, didn't know him. I have people who believe I'm pure and God. They know I'm a human being, but they don't know me. Because what they say, I can tell they don't know me. Right? You can believe somebody is a human being and believe in them, but what you believe about them is what matters. Because what I believe about you determines my relationship with you. Just believing in you is not, it's what do I believe about? So I think I said last week, what we believe about God is probably more important than how we believe in God. The Bible is even pretty clear. It says, the Bible really indicates there's nobody who doesn't believe. That all of creation just shouts out, there's a creator. They may say they don't, but deep down inside, everybody knows this thing came from somewhere. I mean, everything we see today, we know it had a beginning. There was saying that God didn't create the universe is like saying, I don't know. I'm not good at this one. I'm not good at this. I'll move along in a minute. It's like throwing a bunch of parts into a machine and it spits out a car. That's kind of good. It's like taking alphabets and just throwing them all up in the air and they fall down in the dictionary all together. That's pretty good. I knew if I went long enough, Lynn, I'd grab something. So to say that all of this just came out of no order, somebody wasn't putting it together. You know, we enjoy things today, but it was meticulously put together. God, Moses gets with Israel, and they're in Canaan land, Jim, and somewhere, I don't know when the time of it was, but Moses begins to write the book of Genesis. And he begins to tell Israel, he begins to, if you will, reintroduce them to God. And he began to say things like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be this, and there was that. And he created this awesome, awesome earth. And then he said, this is good. And then it said, and then he rested on the seventh day. He didn't rest because he was tired. God never gets tired. He rested in what he had done. Now watch this. Now, after he created all this beautiful stuff, he said, now let us make man in our own likeness and our own image. And he created them male and female. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Take dominion over everything. And then he saw man and he said, it's not good. The only time he ever said it's not good was when he saw Adam. He says, it's not good that he be alone. So I'm going to make him a helpmate. I'm going to create someone for him to love and be intimate with and have relationship with. How many men are glad God created Eve? Aren't you? We wouldn't want all men, would we? Now, some people would. I understand they would, but that not everybody. Aren't you glad that God? Now, watch it. God did all of that. He created all of this beautiful, beautiful stuff. Not one part of it benefited him. He didn't need any of it. How many know that God didn't need earth? He doesn't need earth. He doesn't even need a temple. He said, you can't put me in a temple. You can't do that. I'm God. And he did all of this, and then he gave it to us. He says, it's yours. Enjoy. Enjoy. Every sunset, every sunrise, every season, every fruit, every vegetable, every salmon, every sea bass, every trout, every snapper, every swordfish, every group, every beach, every mountain, every lake, every stream, every rainforest, every jungle, it's all for you. I don't need it. It's for you. It's for you to enjoy. I look around today, there's a lot of empty seats. It's Memorial Day weekend. People are at beaches and lakes and mountains and streams enjoying a thing called a gracious gift of God that he doesn't need, but says, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it. God has always been grace. It's all for you. And since then, all he's been doing is what is good for us. Say good for us. And I'm going to close with the man who wrote the scripture. By grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And this is so good. Katie, I want you to play while I read these scriptures, because I want you to see the man, why he knew what grace was. why no other apostle, even the ones that walked with him for 3.5 years, did not understand grace. Now watch this. Here's a man at the time of his life right now, he's called Saul. They said Saul could quote the first 5 books of the Bible. Paul said about himself, I'm a Pharisee above all Pharisees. As concerning the law, he said, I'm blameless. There's nothing in it I don't keep. Nothing. He said, but I got to the place where everything I learned and everything I knew, I just counted it as dung and refuge and fit for the garbage pile when I compare it to what I know now. And so this man named Saul was so into his religion that he thought that going and taking Christians by the hand and putting them in chains and taking them to an arena and being fed to lions was a God thing. He thought he was doing the will of God. And he didn't believe in this Jesus who died on the cross. He didn't believe in this. It just didn't make sense. What do you mean you don't have to obey the law? What do you mean I don't have to be circumcised? What do you mean I don't have to do all of these things to be saved? What do you mean? I've raised my whole life with this. I've raised my whole life. I've known the law. I've obeyed the law. It's everything. What do you mean that because this one man comes into the earth and he dies, now it's all different? I'm not going with that. I'll put you on a cross and crucify you. He stood there when Stephen was being stoned to death. They took Stephen's garments and Paul had them in his hands and consented to his death. Now you won't find this in the Bible, but you'll find it in Buddhism. I believe, Joy, that something started working in the apostle Paul, who was then Saul, while he was holding Stephen's garments. And I believe while he's holding his garments and he's being stoned to death, that Stephen says what Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Don't lay this charge to their feet. Don't blame them for what they're doing to me. We can't even be given, we can't even go to church and not be spoken to. And not hold somebody accountable because they didn't smile at you. This is old time Pentecostal preaching here, if y'all don't know it. He's been stoned to death and he says, Don't blame them, Lord. Don't blame them. And you'll get blamed for not smiling at somebody. Oh, why didn't preacher didn't even speak to me this morning? It's old-timey preaching, but it's truth. But I believe this. While he's holding Stephen's garments, and he says, Father, don't blame him. Then he said something else. Man, I see Jesus doing something that never had done, never was recorded done. He's always sitting. And he says, I see Jesus. He's standing at the right hand of the Father. And maybe he's just looking over the balcony of heaven. And he's going, look down there, Father. That's what I did. That's what I did. Look what he's doing. That's what I did. That's what we're supposed to do. Aren't we supposed to give grace? Undeserved, unmerited. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And he was approaching Damascus on his mission that he believed with all his heart was from God. A light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he says, who are you, Lord? He already knew. He called him Lord. The Bible says no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So, Stephen's clothes in his arms was coming alive. That's the Lord. He says, the voice replied, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what to do. He's on his way. When he gets up, there's other men with him. The Bible says they heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. When Paul opened his eyes, he couldn't see. For 3 days and three nights, he was blind and didn't eat nor drink. God, in the meantime, while he's on his way, goes to a disciple named Ananias and says, Ananias, there's a man going to be over here in a street called Straight. Don't you love the Bible? And I even read this, and it said, and he's going to be in the house of a man named Judas. Now, I know Judas, not the same Judas, but isn't it ironic? Don't you love God? He's just setting this thing up about grace. Ananias, I want you to go to a house. There's a man named Saul, and he's in the house with a man named Judas. Oh, that's good stuff. And so then Ananias says, I know who this man is. I'm not going to go. This dude's crazy. He'll kill you. But he goes anyway. And this man named Paul, Saul, becomes Paul. And he left there and went into Arabia. And the Bible says he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He didn't talk to any other disciple about this. For 3.5 years, he's in a place called Arabia. Him and God and Jesus and Holy Spirit getting taught this message called grace. And then Paul defines this grace. He says, I'm pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not driven to despair. I'm hunted down, but I'm never abandoned by God. I get knocked down, but I'm not destroyed. The Bible says 3 times he was scourged. 3 times. One of those times he was left for dead. Most scholars believe he was dead. Paul, the greatest extension of grace ever given was the extension of grace that was given to him. There was no greater extension of grace ever given to anybody. Are you with me? Nobody has ever received this amount of grace. You're killing my sons and my daughters. You're killing them. And yet I'm going to call you with a message of grace. And so now he's got to live his whole life with this message of grace. It's going to cost him everything. One day he looks out of a Roman cell and he sees a guillotine. He sees a chop block. And knowing that next morning they're going to cut his head off. And I had to get up. I had to get up this morning and come to church. Man. I went to bed last night knowing there's not a guillotine outside of it and chop my head off. But when Paul looks at it, he sees it, and he says, well, the time of my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight, I've kept the faith. Therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which a righteous judge shall give, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. I got grace when he called me. I've had grace all my life. I've been stoned. I've been beaten down. I've been called a liar. I've been all this persecution. I've been thrown in jail after jail after jail after jail. And his grace has been there. And in closing, you know what that means? In closing, for real. This boasting is not going to do any good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up into the third heaven years ago, whether I was in my body, I don't know, out of the body, I don't know. Only God knows, yet only God knows whether I was in my body outside, but I do know this, that I was called up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will only boast about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth, but I won't do it. I love Paul. He's boasting, but he's stopping it. I'm not going to boast, but I am going to boast. I ain't going to boast, but I am going to boast. I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hearing my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away, but he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. He received this grace as an extension of Christ, which was the greatest extension of love ever given to a man because of what he was doing. He had to live by this grace because he was going to be beaten, put in prison all of his life. And he has such revelations of God that some of them he can't even express. And they've tried for years to figure this thorn in the flesh out. And I tell you what a thorn in the flesh is that you got this wonderful thing called truth, and nobody will take it. You got this wonderful message called grace, and people don't want it. Because they'd rather walk in vengeance than forgiveness. They'd rather walk in blaming than in taking responsibility. They'd rather walk around with a chip on their shoulder than to walk around with a cross on their shoulder. They'd rather walk around blaming the world for the place that they're in instead of receiving the wonderful grace. Paul died joy, not knowing that most of the New Testament was going to be penned from his fingers in prison. He died without knowing that on this day, Memorial Day 2018, this preacher called Buren Goss is going to be talking about his life to such an extent that I've never talked about his life ever before. And he still did it. He didn't see, when we preach it, we're preaching past experience. We're preaching what we know happened. They are living what we know. When the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, they didn't go through the Red Sea. Boy, ain't this a beautiful type of salvation? They didn't walk through what they went through and went, oh, one day this is going to be such a beautiful message. No. Chariots behind us. Walk. Water standing on each side of us. They're walking through there with fear, not even knowing what's going on. They were experiencing what we preach these lovely little miracle messages about. They was experiencing it. Paul didn't know that when he penned the time of my departure's at hand, that ministers were going to stand for thousands and thousands and thousands of years after that and stand over a body in a coffin and be able to say they're not dead. The time of their departure has happened. They've just gone to a better place. He didn't pin that. He pinned it experiencing it. He wrote it with an experience. And because of that, if I can say this, please stand. Because of that, God, help me say this right. Because they experienced the pain of it, we get to experience the pleasure of it. Because they experienced the pain, we get the pleasure. So every Sunday, it's Christian Memorial Day to celebrate and honor all of those men and women who gave their lives so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Is that good news? Young man, I don't know who you are, but you've been with me this whole message. I love you nodding your head at me. And God's doing a special work in your life. You got a good future ahead of you. Things are going to be good. You just trust that. Things are going to be good. There's a turning point happening in your life right now. You just turned the corner. When you turned that corner, you saw it. It's almost like the Saul having the little light from heaven shine down on him. And that's what happens sometimes in our life. God brought you here to shine this big light on you and let you know you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. God is a loving, kind, gracious Heavenly Father. And I love Him. So, please leave here today and extend it. You've been given it. Now go give it. Go give it to somebody, because I guarantee you're going to run into somebody this week that's going to need it. As a matter of fact, when you look in the mirror, you'll see the first person and you'll know who needs it. God bless you.
You can be seated for just 1 second. The band is coming back up here. Hope that you got your bulletin. A lot of important information in that. Your connection card is in there. Hope that you have filled that out already. In the back of the sanctuary, up by each of the doors, there's a box there that you can drop that connection card. That's the way that you communicate whether or not you have a prayer request or you want to volunteer for something. If you have your offering with you this morning, I know many of you give your offering online. You can drop that offering in that same box there in the back. A couple of things that are upcoming that I want to make sure you're aware of. Next Sunday, we have a prospective member lunch right after the service. Some invitations have gone out, but if you are interested in Eagles Way Church and knowing more about Eagles Way Church to possibly become a member, all you have to do is come up to me today or Pastor Keith or Buren and just say, hey, I want to come to that lunch and check that out. And we would love to be prepared for you for next Sunday. First Wednesday is on the 6th. You're not going to want to miss it. Special guest minister from Mojo Ministries is coming to minister to us. So you want to make sure that you are here for that. Isn't that right, Joey? And so all of that is going to be going on and happening. The last Sunday of each month, we put this box down here. I get emotional at times because we use the funds that come into that box to serve our community. We support the food pantry, Spalding Samaritans, which is emergency utility relief, the soup kitchen that gives a meal every day of the week, Rushton Hope, all of the meals that we serve, the funds that come in help to buy that food. We have people within our congregation that we help keep utilities on at times or help them in different areas in different ways. And it's because of your benevolence, your giving, your love that that happens. So on the fourth Sunday, we put it down front just as a reminder. Each and every Sunday, you can give to alms if you want to. You can mark it on the envelope that you drop in the box, or you can mark it on the website when you use your card that way, however you want to do it. But thank you for giving. So let's stand. And as we worship, if you would like to come and put in the box here, you can do that. But know that we serve an awesome God.
Darkness fades into new beginnings as we lift our eyes to hope beyond. All creation waits with an expectation to declare the reign of the Lord our God. He will not be moved when the earth gives way. An empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. Now the silence breaks in the name of Jesus as the heavens cry, let the earth respond. All creation shouts with a voice of triumph to declare the an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. He shall reign forever strong. Jesus. has overcome, and for every fear there's an empty grave, for the risen one has overcome. We will not be moved when the earth gives way, for the risen one.
You guys have a great day. Have a good day.